Dear Lord, we do bow now in thy presence, and we thank thee for our time so far. And we ask as we turn to thy word, Lord, that thou wilt be gracious to us. For, Lord, thou knowest of ourselves, even with much biblical knowledge, that we might or might not have. Lord, thou knowest that unless we have divine enlightenment, it will mean nothing. And we thank thee, Lord, that we can very simply confess in thy presence our absolute dependence upon thee. O Lord, come in and make thy word live to us. We do praise thee for the many answers to prayer we see. We thank thee for bringing Barbara Venn amongst us again, Lord. We thank thee for that. We thank thee, Lord, for thy goodness to so many others as well. Lord, we commit all these dear ones into thy hands, and those who sorrow this day. We think of those who have lost loved ones in Birmingham and Ulster and elsewhere. We remember the troubles at present in Ethiopia and in many other parts of the world, Israel in particular. We remember these ones before thee, Lord. And we pray that as we turn to thy word, we may receive something from thee, Lord, that will make us alive to thyself, and thus a joint of supply to thy children all over the world to be a light that cannot be hid. And we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. I have just really some thoughts that are upon my heart that are basically for this part of the family of God. But I trust there will be something for any of you who are with us this morning from elsewhere. But it is particularly for this part of the family of God, and may therefore not have too much meaning for some others, at least in all its context. I want you to turn to Ephesians and chapter 5, and from verse 15. Look therefore carefully how ye walk, not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, or buying up the opportunity, it says in my margin, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is riot, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking one to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God even the Father, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. And then to Timothy, the second letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 2, from verse 1. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, from verse 1. Thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach also others. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. No soldier on service entangleth himself in the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enrolled him as a soldier. And if also a man contend in the games, he is not crowned except he have contended lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be the first to partake of the fruits. Consider what I say. For the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel, wherein I suffer hardship unto bonds as a malefactor, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Faithful is the saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we shall deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he abideth faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance. You know, the Lord's been speaking to us about a number of things in the past year or two, and in these past days, whilst our dear brothers and sisters from the States were with us, I think the Lord brought some of those things again very clearly before us into sharp focus. And there are one or two things that I'm just speaking from my heart this morning, more than really a message. It's just an opening of my heart to all of you here in this part of the family of God for guidelines in prayer that we may seek the Lord. It is interesting that the Apostle Paul says once or twice, we shouldn't be foolish, but we should understand what the will of the Lord is. And writing to this dear one, Timothy, who had such great responsibilities, he says, now you've got to commit what you've heard from me to other faithful men. And then he says, he again makes this point, 2 Timothy 2, just wait, verse 7, consider what I say, the Lord shall give thee understanding in all things. What a need there is of understanding. The most dangerous thing in the world is biblical knowledge apart from understanding. The church of God and the work of God has suffered more from people's conceptions than ever it has from any enemy outside. We are the people who are again and again have turned every move of the Spirit of God into something institutional, something formal. We've crystallized it and we've formalized it so that in the end it has died its natural death. It is a tragedy. That hasn't been a frontal attack by enemies without. It has come from within and has generally come from the very people who are the most responsible. Because they have conceptions, because they have ideas, they have biblical ideas, and as we go on with the Lord, it's very, very easy to lose our first love and to lose our first utter dependence upon the Lord. And then we begin to rest upon a weight of our own experience, in quotes, and our own understanding of things, our own conceptions, basically. What a need there is to understand what the will of the Lord is. And to remember this word of the apostle, consider what I say, and the Lord shall give thee understanding. Understanding never drops on us out of heaven willy-nilly. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all understanding. That is, we cannot just rest upon our own conceptions or our own ideas or even our own past experience. We have a kind of tender sensitiveness to the Lord, a kind of openness to the Lord, a readiness for him to really speak, almost a gentleness in our approach to the things of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And wisdom, as you well know, is something beyond knowledge. Knowledge is just the facts of the matter. Wisdom is what to do with the facts, how the facts apply to a given situation. Now, we may have knowledge, thank God if we've got knowledge, of the time, the phase of things we are in at the end of this age. Thank God if we've got a knowledge of what is happening in this world and what the Lord is doing and what he's about to do. Thank God if we've got even a kind of, in principle, an idea of God's prophetic fulfillment of things. God deliver us from being too detailed, because generally we get wrong when we start to get over-detailed in these things. But thank the Lord if we have some knowledge of his will in this way. But what we need is wisdom. We can have all the knowledge in the world of where we are and what God is going to do and what he's about to do, but what we need is wisdom. We need to know how that those facts apply to us and what we should do in the light of those facts. Now, there are one or two things that I find very interesting in the Word of God. We have been praying, the elders and the full-time brothers, we spent a day in prayer and fasting last week, and we've been praying very much about the thought that came to us during these days, which is not essentially a new one, that there should be some kind of moving out, some kind of reproduction, as it were, multiplication, if you like, of what God has been doing amongst us. We thank God for what he's been doing all over the country and all over Europe and indeed the world. But there is such a need of real help in foundation laying. That is the problem. We have thousands and thousands and thousands, innumerable believers now who are alive to what God is doing. Alive at least that God is on the move and that the things that lie in the past belong to the past. But what we need is a very real foundation laying. We need definition and direction. That's the great need amongst the people of God. I remember years ago, Brother Sparks saying, when I said to him, what do you think about this moving of the Spirit of God all over the world? What do you think it will end in? He said, wait, 10 years' time, and there will be a tremendous cry for teaching, for definition and direction. We are seeing that now. All over the world, there is this cry for real teaching, real ministry. Now, you know, those of you local, that some years ago the Lord spoke to us about this. Indeed, from the beginning he spoke to us about this. But some years ago, in the visit of our brother Len Moles, he brought a message to us which deeply impressed us all as being of God. And in that he spoke about the need of real reproduction. Just as if we need to multiply personally and others are saved, so we need to see that. Now, here are one or two thoughts I want just to underline as guidelines for prayer and for the seeking of the Lord for understanding. First of all, if there are to be any kind of apostolic bands or any sort of ministry moving out in team work in different parts of the world as God directs and calls, the work must be of God. We cannot afford to just go round setting up something. That's the great danger and the lesson of church history. You can't just go around the country setting up churches. You can't just go around sort of saying, now then, we've got it all, you haven't got much, we'll show you how to do it, here we are. God preserve us from any such attitude or spirit. What we need to do is walk in works afore prepared, as it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Something that God is doing. And where the need is definition and direction. Where there is a need for us to come, where there is something which has its source in God, something which the Lord is doing, and something which needs that kind of ministry of definition and direction. I think there is something else in this matter. I believe it's tremendous need of example. There are times when it's many companies I go to. Now, you know, I've had years of traveling around the world, at least some parts of the world, quite an area of the world, and I have been in all kinds of things. I've seen things that God is doing and so on. But all the need, people hear things and they see things. You can define things clearly. You can teach and people can get hold of it. But what they need to see is a group of people living together, sharing together, and bringing everybody else in. Nothing from the management sort of down, as it were. We're here to, when I say direction, I don't mean that kind of direction where we're just there to say, now you do this and you do that, and here are the 3 points, and if you do this, you end up with a perfect New Testament model church. God again preserve us. What we need to do is to be open and flexible before God so that he can take us into situations where we can, by example, as well as by teaching, by example, define and direct the people of God. They need to see some sort of tremendous thing, to see a few people living together, sharing together, moving together. Take just the matter of prayer. I can count on one hand the companies I know. All over the part of the world I have travelled extensively since 1961. I can give on one fingers of one hand the companies that I know how to pray together. Now, I'm not talking about personal prayer. I mean corporate prayer. There are very few companies who know how to pray really together, how to flow together, how to take up a matter together, when to take part and when to shut up. And you understand as well as I do that if a company doesn't understand how to pray together, they're caught at the very beginning. All the teaching in the world will not make up for the understanding of how to pray together, how to see the work of God governed by prayer, how to see the will of God executed in the place of prayer. You can have all the definition in the world as to the eternal purpose of God, as to the nature of the church, as to the oneness of believers, but unless you know how to bring all the practical matters up in prayer and how to cope with it together, there's no hope. Now, I find again and again that you can teach people, but until they see it in action with their own eyes and hear it with their own ears and become involved with others who know how to pray together, they don't cotton on. It's something, you see, it's something that's... Remember the Apostle Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, he said, you have seen me these past few years. You have seen how I've wept, how I've worked with my own hands, how I've been an example in all these things. In other words, it's not just ministry. You've seen something with your own eyes and heard it with your own ears. Then I want to say something else about this matter. My dear friends, one of the things I think that is overlooked in the work of God today is the whole matter of spiritual birth. We all emphasize the need for a person to be born again. What we do not realize is that the church has to be born of God. It is an entity which has to be born of the Spirit. And you can have believers together in Christ, in a locality, you've got the church potentially. There it is. You've got all the framework. You've got the structure, if you like. You've got the basis, perhaps more correctly to say. But until the Spirit of God does something so that something is born of God there, corporately, it will never go through the fires. It will break up. And we have seen all over the place companies that have started with a tremendous flourish and much life and great numbers within a year or two shatter into pieces and nothing is left. It has to be born of God. Now, I believe that one of the essential things about any such groups of brethren or sisters going out in any way is that they should not just teach and not just have a prophetic ministry, but that they should be able, together with others in that place, by the Spirit of God, see the church born. This means a laying down of lives such as very few of us, if any of us, have so far seen. This company came into being through 4 months of prayer, night after night after night after night. It took every single thing we had. And I believe that there is a principle there. It doesn't necessarily always have to be, but I remember years ago how God worked in the south of India through our dear brethren there, how again and again there were sometimes a month of nights of prayer before the work of God was born there. You can't just do it through definition. This is the great mistake. And this is where there's a need of something like this. Now, all this, you will see straight away, means that any who are involved in such a ministry have got to know not only the Holy Spirit in experience, but they've got to know all the work of the cross. If we think that we can just travel around in some kind of glamorous way from place to place, God help us. We shall soon come up against, but I know it from experience, When you start off, there's something, to a certain extent, quite glamorous about going from place to place, seeing new places, seeing new situations, and you can always leave the problems, to a certain extent, behind when you go on to the next place. There's a certain glamour. You just give anyone 1 year, and I see all these people who have a year or two of this, after a year or two, they want to settle. They're fed up with living out of suitcases, of travelling off, of all the time, of finding a travel arrangements don't work, sitting in cold airport lounges or stations, or sometimes waiting for a ship that doesn't come. Oh, I can give you some things on this. The glamour goes within a year. Well, we thank God for that. And then takes over the real thing, whether you're called of God and whether your life is laid down and whether the Holy Spirit has anointed you with such power that you are able to overcome your problems over these things and go on. I'm not saying that there are not also the joys of such ministry in seeing many all over the world who are alive to God and walking with God and seeing the works and miracles of God and so on. That's all also a joy. But let us make no mistake about this. The work of the cross must be the basis of any such ministry. It requires discipline and togetherness. I remember how the Apostle Paul would have no more to do with John Mark. Many of us believe he made a mistake. But oh, there was a discipline from the very beginning in that apostolic ministry. There were those who moved evidently then with Barnabas. John Mark left and went with Barnabas. And there were others too. But there was a discipline. There was a discipline. There was no just sort of, I think I'll do this, I think I'll do that. None of that. There was a subjecting of ourselves one to another in the fear of Christ, and there was a strong discipline. You get that in the Apostle's last letter when he says, bring Mark with you again, and also make one or two other things. I mean, it's quite simple and clear. I remember Stephen Kong said to me that our brother Watchman Nee, in the end, when there were 1,000 full-time workers in the work, said that of that 1,000 full-time workers, there were only 3 that he could tell what to do. Now, you would think straight away, do you mean 997, am I right, were not subject or were rebellious? Not at all. Brother Nee said, the rest would do what they were told, but it would damage them spiritually. There were only 3 that Brother Nee could simply say, go to so-and-so, straight away, don't ask questions. And he knew that it wouldn't damage their spiritual life because they were utterly dependent upon the Lord. We need to know such a discipline that doesn't damage our spiritual life, but which means that we can flower in the Lord and be ourselves completely. It means, of course, a togetherness. It also, a togetherness, of course, in the whole work, a real flowing together. Now, these are not cast iron thoughts. I'm just giving you guidelines. I believe that we need to pray about very, very much. We have, in many ways, we've come up now to point where we know the Lord is speaking to us as a people. We in the wider work certainly feel the Lord is saying we have so many invitations now that would run us ahead for years. What are we to do about it? We believe that it's no good just going round teaching, taking a meeting here, taking a few meetings here, taking a conference. Somehow or other, it seems the Lord is speaking to us that we've got to move over from that to foundation laying. And as our brother, John Adcox, put it, to go where there are excavations. In other words, where God has prepared hearts and there was an awakening to the need for God to do something on the corporate side, there's an excavation where there's a need of real foundation laying. Now, I think we need deliverance from off-the-mark ideas, because what the devil always does is this: as soon as the Lord is starting to do something real, we get flooded with ideas which are off-the-mark. You know, people's inner desires, their inner frustrations all start to come out. And then they spiritualize the whole thing and say, yes, yes, I'll do this, or I'll do that, or I'll go here. We need to be delivered from that. This doesn't mean not to make suggestions or ideas, but we need to be delivered from what God is not saying. He's not just saying conference ministry. He's done that for years. He's saying something else, and what we need to do is understand what we need to have an understanding from the we need wisdom from the Lord as to what this means and what it will cost. Then may I go on to a second point? I will only briefly mention it. But therefore, because of this, if this really is of God, and as I believe it is, not necessarily in the way I put it, but in some way we are touching something which I believe is the will of God for us, then there's going to have to be a training of brothers and sisters here. Because those of us who are already full-time will not be able to meet this need without others stepping into our shoes, as it were, and taking on. So it means that there's going to be a great need of training. Now, what do I mean by training? I mean a training in ministry. Those who've got ministry, the many of you, brethren, have got real ministry. We found that, remember, in our training course the other year. We may not have heard so much of you, but we've detected that there are a number with a real gift from God. Now, that needs training. And there is need for training in responsibility. And there's a need of training in leadership. Here we have an area of training. This will require discipline. It means that those of you who are prepared for such training, put yourselves in under an especial discipline. And we let off other people, but you'll find that we shall come down upon you heavily, and for instruction and for correction. This is not just to grind you into the ground, but to train you, as it were, in responsibility, for in the work of God. Now, this training must, I think, be within the life of the company. And it will. It means everything. Don't get glamorous ideas. It means that you'll just go out ministering. Maybe you'll find that you'll have to take on some quite menial jobs to begin with. But the fact is, it's all part of a training. And it will probably entail, for short periods, another evening of your packed life being given up for those of you who are prepared for that. And you are not permitted to take it out from another time. That automatically will disqualify you. In other words, we believe that the service of God is in the extra mile, not in substitutes. It's in the extra mile. We've said this again and again. If you're not prepared for the extra mile, you can't serve the Lord. Because we get these ideas deep within us of being something. Every one of us, every little man has got a big man inside of him screaming to get out. We all want to be something. We see ourselves as Wesleys or George Foxes or Watchman Nees or someone. We all see that. I mean, it's a natural thing. And we sort of think how wonderful it would be if suddenly one night I had a visitation from heaven and I saw, as it were, like a burning bush and heard the voice of the Lord, and that was that. I was changed and came down sort of with a tremendous ministry and an anointing. Well, your burning bush may be us. And you will find the bush very, very thorny, but inside the bush is the fire of God, and the bush burns with fire, and the bush is not consumed. You may have to learn some bitter lessons along that line. May the Lord deliver us from these romantic ideas of an encounter with God, which always enhance us and always set us at the center of our world and always make us the big name and the big thing, as it were, in whatever God is doing. The Lord deliver us from that. Well, now, it seems to me, therefore, that we will be praying about these things very much. And we shall probably be saying, now, if you're prepared to be trained like that, would you submit your name? And we shall pray over all those names that we get, and we shall perhaps take all, or we may take most, or we may take a few. But then we shall start this training of those, and I just pray with all my heart that God will help us. Because we have very little time left. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe that the end of all things is just around the corner next week or next month. But I do believe that sooner or later, a very big bust up is coming. And that bust up is going to change the whole kind of life that we have known. Now that's coming, whether we like it or not. We have little time to prepare. When that bust up comes, what I long for are people who've been trained and understand the principles of the house of God, the principles of the work of God, who can then go out after the bust up is over and so much of this world shattered, to go out with under the anointing of God, to, as it were, gather together the people of God and to be a comfort and a strength to them. Well, now, only the Lord can help us. May I say finally one word about us literally, locally? Now, I've been talking about going out, moving out, beyond. Obviously, there's going to be need, and I believe this is going to go on and on and on. As others go out, and as we begin to see those who are anointed of God and separated by the Spirit of God and called into the work, so others will come and take their place. It will go on and on. Therefore, that we need all of us to get clear if we are to be local. But it's no good talking about just breaking up the whole thing at the heart. We've got to see something absolutely stronger and more one and more flowing with the Lord than ever before at the heart. And we know the enemy will attack just there. There can be no moving out unless there are those who understand that the laying down of their life means that they are committed lock, stock, and barrel to the local. There cannot be those who go out to retrieve things unless there are those who will remain by the stuff. And therefore, you must ask yourself, what does the Lord say to me? Is he saying to me, the cross for you is to die here? For others of you, the cross for you may be to go. For it must mean sacrifice. And if sacrifice is not at the heart of our ministry and the heart of the testimony, it is worthless. Then, let me say then, we are obviously seeing expansion. I don't think there's need for me to say that. We are more and more packed, and we find the problem greater and greater. There are many, many ideas with which at present I personally am being deluged. We should break up into house groups. We should divide at least the company into two, and many other thoughts and ideas. Now, these may or may not be right. But we must seek the Lord for wisdom, because no help is being given by spreading ideas that only cause unrest. We cannot divide the church less than its minimum division, and we must get that clear, or we shall find right at the beginning, at the heart of what God is seeking to do, that we've destroyed something. Now, this is not to say that we will not obviously have to work. We have to remember the church in Jerusalem may have numbered 3,000 after the day of Pentecost, but it was still the church in Jerusalem. They broke bread from house to house, however many groups there were. They met together every day in the temple forecourt. So they had the whole thing coming together every day, and at the same time, a smaller meeting. Now, that was their situation. Our point is that you cannot just take the details of that and say, now we must do exactly the same here in this company. What we've got to do is seek the Lord as to what is his way, not to contravene the principles which God has already revealed to us. What is the point of our going? If we don't get clear here, what is the point of our going in any ministry of definition and direction? Are we going to create the same mess everywhere? What do we do? We've got to get clear ourselves as to what is this basis, and how, on the one hand, you have the smaller meetings, and how you have the whole. What do we do on the eldership? If we do divide up, okay, Do we have a separate group of elders, some a separate group? What do we do with young people? Will they all be just in little groups? What do we do? We had to get clear as to what a church is locally. I believe many of us are clear, but we're beset with the problems. And whenever the problems come, what you've seen is challenged. Now, do remember this. I'm not trying to get over anything. I'm just trying to give you guidelines for real prayer. Whenever anything happens along this line, what you have seen is challenged. I've seen people who've come to me and told me they've seen the house of God, and what do? They become Roman Catholics. I have nothing against Roman Catholics. Those of you know I go amongst the Roman Catholics, but I cannot understand it when someone says that they've seen what God is doing and seen the house of God and then become a Catholic priest. I don't understand it. I don't understand it when I know a sister of great standing who served the Lord for many years and suffered greatly because she said she saw what the house of God was, left it all, and then became a nun. Then I say to myself, what did they see? My dear brothers and sisters, when we see something and it's really in us, we cannot contravene what we have seen. To do so is to commit spiritual suicide. When you can do something like that, it means you've never seen it in the first place. Really seen it with the eye of your heart. It was a mental apprehension. Now, that's what I mean. We are being challenged because we have problems. Thank God for the problems and thank God for the challenge. Because the challenge will throw us back as to what we really have seen and how we are to face this kind of problem. I have no doubt at all that the Lord is in charge of this whole thing. And I have also no doubt that the Lord will bring us through. What we need, therefore, is to seek the Lord. We, of course, I've spoken in this way because soon we have the Christmas period and then all the ups and downs, people all over the place and so on. Now we've really got to look to the Lord to help us, brethren, and the whole church to get clear on these things. Don't be afraid that what I've said this morning is not meant in any heavy way at all. What I want to do is to help you to seek the Lord and to encourage you. Because if we seek the Lord, he shall surely be found of us. And in that, we shall get clear on certain things which will be of inestimable value in the future. May the Lord help us. May he greatly help us. So that in all that we're moving out, that there will have to be in the end, it comes from an understanding of what the will of the Lord. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we commit ourselves very simply now to thee. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt not allow what has been said to be misinterpreted. Watch over it, Lord. We do thank thee for what thou hast done for us here in this part of thy family. We thank thee, Lord, for our oneness in thee, for the love and the harmony and the flowing together that thou hast produced. Lord, we give thee all the glory. We know it's not of ourselves. And we ask thee, Lord, that thou wilt now, as we face these new problems, thou wilt give us, Lord, divine light, divine direction. If, Lord, there are things we've seen which somehow or other, Lord, we have brought additions to, or things that are not quite right, then, Lord, we pray that thou wilt get us into the right understanding. We want to understand what thy will is. We want to heed the words of the apostle, consider this, and the Lord will give thee understanding. Oh, give us a heart, Lord, that is sensitive and contrite. Give us that fear of thee, Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Help us now, Lord, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.